We're wrapping up our series today. We're wrapping up our series on resurrection realities. These are realities that manifested after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and things that he, purchased, and the new covenant, how important that is. So to me, it's a great day to be alive. You know, the things that you and I get experience in life. So under the new covenant, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're partakers of God's righteousness. You know, we are, the Bible says, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, even though we don't maybe feel that way sometimes, but legally, that's what we are because of what Jesus Christ has done. And living in freedom, to me, is one of the best feelings that there is to have. Because it's hard for me to remember, it's been so long, but I do remember what it felt like to live in the bondage of sin. And then when Jesus Christ saved my life, and I experienced it, he saved me thousands of years ago, but when I finally received it, you know, just that experience and everything that God has, that being in freedom and no longer bound to that sin. So, you know, Jesus is our curse breaker and our blessing maker, and that's kind of where we left off last week. Amen. So last week we did see where the curse came from and where it started. Went back to the Garden of Eden, and we noticed how Adam and Eve opened the door for the devil, and the curse came on mankind. It wasn't meant to be. That wasn't God's perfect plan, but that's what happened. So then God devised a plan to be able to redeem us and to be able to get free from that curse. Now, we're going to look today about the children of Israel when they were receiving the law. They've been set free from Egypt many years earlier, and they kind of made a boo-boo. They got in fear, and they didn't get to go into the promised land because they thought the giants were too big for their God. So they ended up circling, you know, like an airplane around the airport, couldn't land, 40 years. Well, now we're past that, and we're going into the time when they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Now, the law was given around 2,400 years after the fall in the Garden of Eden. That's a long time, right? That's a long time. It's not quite as long as since Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you know, but for us in that time frame, but that's how long it was. So God, in those other years, just kind of dealt with individuals from time to time. But now, he was trying to get everybody on the same page. You know how important that is? You got to get people on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, you know, a lot of chaos. A lot of problems. You know, husbands and wives aren't on the same page, that's a problem. Waiting to happen, really. If families aren't on the same page, and if teams aren't on the same page, and if churches aren't on the same page, all these things. So God was wanting to get them all on the same page. And then, so what God was doing here, they had been living under the curse for so long that when the law was given, this was God showing his people how to live a blessed life instead of a cursed life. And that's the same for us today. You know, we can have a blessed life. And we're going to look at God dealing with the people and setting up a lifestyle expectations. Now, we're going to start with two little passages, and then we're going to jump into this. First passage I want to look at is Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. And both these passages here are in Deuteronomy. It says, God was talking to the people. He said, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse if you not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known." Then the second passage, like I said, also in Deuteronomy, is 27. 27 verse 26 goes on a little bit more explanation here. It says, "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, And all the people said, Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for a special stirring in our hearts today, Lord, that we want more of you. We want to walk in your ways. We pray that your plans are established in each of our lives. That, Lord, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not below, and we're ahead and not behind. We thank you. That's part of the blessing in Deuteronomy 28. And, Lord, we just thank you right now. I just yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God was explaining something to his people, trying to get them on the same page. He told them, you know, that, you know, when you have a decision to make. See, we all come to a fork in the road that we choose what decision that we have to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I have lived in Monroe County. I lived in Denver 9 years, but I was a country boy. And there's a lot of old country roads out in that area, especially out by Weller. And you drive in some of them roads, you're just twisting and turning around. And, you know, you kind of maybe don't know where you're at. And then you all of a sudden come to a fork and you have a decision to make. Do I go this way or do I go that way? Both of them can't be right. One will take you farther away from your destination. One will bring you closer. And see, life is like that for you and I. We come to positions in our life. We come to times, seasons, whatever it may be, where we come into a situation. And then at that time, we need to make a decision. So God was doing that here with the children of Israel. He didn't make them follow him. He said, I'm going to give you a choice, people. The same choices that he's given all mankind. You know, if you, as the choice is the fact that the choice we make, every choice we make has consequences either way. And so that's how that works. So if we do this, we get that. And if we do that, we get this. That's the way life is sometimes. You just make that choice and you got to pick a horse and ride it, right? That's how it rolls. So life can sometimes be summed up by the decisions we make. The answer may not manifest for a while, but it will be manifested. And believe me, as you live your life, as you lead your life, the things that you go through in life is going to come back and you're going to start to manifest in your life. Here's a couple things that we can learn. When you're young, you don't think about these things. But cluing you in, poor eating habits will come back to bite you when you get old. Never thought. Never thought. When I was young, nah. But as you get older, you start to realize some things. You know, lack of exercise may cause you to lose mobility when you get older. Now, I haven't experienced all that, but I do have watched people. I like to watch people and learn. Now, some of these things, I wish somebody clued me in. You know, because I'm learning a few things the hard way. You know what I mean? Have you ever had to recoup or try to re-catch up some things? You know, another one is if you choose not to study in school, it may doom you to a job that you're not going to like. You know, that's one. And then here's another one. Being rude and hard to get along with will lead to a life of loneliness. Right? If you're cantankerous and you're always chewing people out, there's going to come a time in your life when people just aren't going to be around you anymore. Why? They don't want to. So every choice we make can have a consequence. It's going to. That's just the way it works. So sometimes we need to look at where we want to be. You just got to step back a minute, take a break. You know, don't just jump off in the stuff, but take a break. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to end up? Well, if you have a destination, then you can make the choices, the pathway that'll get you there. Just like if you're going to take a trip. You know, you just don't head out on the highway, you know, looking for adventure like the old song says, right? No, you probably map out your thing. Now, most of you let you trust them apps, right? You know, I've gotten so I start to trust them a little bit better. I used to really not trust them, you know, but I'm getting better at trusting what's her name? Google. Yeah, I trust Google. I don't know about the other one. But yeah, they're still working on it. But anyway, Google Maps, yeah. But, you know, within reason. But still, you know, some of these things, you know, have you ever, this gets me. This is off topic a little bit. But I was driving through Kansas City, and the thing told me to go this way. But the sign said Des Moines was that way. I was coming home. I'm just driving. What do I do, Lord? You know? Well, what should I do? What should I do? Well, I trusted it. It worked out. You know, maybe it took me away from traffic. I don't know. But that was a hard one for me. When the sign says to go that way, but the map, the Google Maps told me to go that way. I mean, that was hard. So sometimes you just got to trust, I guess, you know, some things. But, you know, so God, what he was saying to his people was that you could not just say that you were a follower of God, but you actually had to do what God said in his word to confirm that you were a follower of God. Same thing today. You know, we can spout off we're a Christian and say all these things, but it all comes back to lifestyle and the choices that we make. You know, it doesn't, you know, I like Christian t-shirts, you know, but it doesn't really do a lot of good to wear Christian t-shirts if we're going to live like a heathen. You know what I mean? You know, if you're out there, you know, doing stuff or saying things and not living for Christ, and you got this big church, this big shirt with a cross on it, he died for me, or something like that, you know. I know that we're not perfect, but yet sometimes we just got to try to fall in line and let the Holy Spirit start to lead us and to change us. It's part of living that lifestyle. Now, God was telling them, blessing, curse, oh, wait. Blessing and curse. I can't remember which side's what. But anyway, we're going to go into that here. God gave him a beautiful picture, because what we need to understand, what the curse was back in that day, the curse was, it related to God's judgment due to sin in somebody's life. That's what the curse was, because it was a covenant situation. Remember in the Old Testament when they cut covenant? They would say, let's say two clans were going to merge together. And so when they merged together, they would say, if you do this, I'll do this. Meaning, your battle is my battle. My money is your money. And they would come into that union. But as well as just saying the blessing, they would say, if you don't fight my battle, I kill you. If your stuff is not my stuff, I take your stuff. If you don't uphold up your end of the bargain. That's how serious it was. So you just didn't go, you know, entering into covenant with just anybody. You know, if you didn't like the fight, you probably wouldn't enter into a covenant with a mouthy person. You know what I mean? Because they're always getting in fights all the time. If you weren't a scrapper. But I mean, that's just how the covenant worked. There was a blessing side and a cursing side. And God, what he was trying to do after the fall of Adam, was he was trying to get people back into a good relationship with him, and he was looking for people to cut that kind of covenant. So he was looking for covenant people that would walk in a relationship with him. And guess what God wants? He wants a relationship. He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. I don't understand why, because I live with me, why he would want to have a relationship with me, but God does. God craves our fellowship. Just like, hope you do this, hope you crave God's fellowship. We may not feel it all the time, right? But I do know there's times in my life I just need God. I just need my Heavenly Father. So I just kind of get away and go into my office and shut the door, and I just get alone with him because I crave it. I need that time with God. And so God was looking for this covenant people, and he was wanting to enhance that relationship. And in that relationship, there were expectations, just like in any expectation. You know, in a friendship, you know, if you have, hopefully you have some friends, but in a friendship, if I'm there for you, you need to be there for me, right? It's got to go both ways. In marriage, you know, you have expectations. You know, hopefully you expect your spouse to be faithful. You know, that's an expectation. Or why get married? You know, so you have these expectations upon these relationships and things like that. And if you enter into business with somebody, I've watched a lot of people over the years enter into business with somebody, and they just didn't have the same expectations, and they end up not being friends anymore because, you know, one felt they was doing more than the other one. And so the expectations didn't get met, and so that brought a problem. So God was getting ready to bring his people into the promised land. This land is something that he prepared for him, because Abraham was in that land, and then we know that he, you know, through years, and then we know that Israel had children, the 12 tribes, and due to the famine, they went to Egypt, and they ended up being there. It was prophesied to be there for about a little over 400 years. But now it was time for them to head back in, and we know they circled for 40, but now here's the day. They were getting ready to go into everything that God had prepared for them. And in doing that, God said, because he knew they would chase after other gods, they knew they would fail, but God wanted to establish a set of rules so they could understand what to do and what not to do. And that's what this law was all about. And it's kind of interesting, God used an understanding, because, you know, if you break the law, there's a curse, but with obedience to the law, there's a blessing. We all want to be blessed. So God used a great illustration. What he did, of the 12 tribes, he separated them six and six, and he had six go on Mount Ebal, and then six go on Mount Gerizim. Now, these little mounts are there, and they're not too far apart. And then he had the priests and the Levites go down in the center, and they read the covenant. They read the law to them. And so they could understand, you know, I think Mount Ebal, that was the curse. Let's say this: the Southsiders are the cursed side. Boo, right? Boo. But we're at the Northsiders, they're the blessing side. And the priest would, yeah, you liked that one, didn't you? And then the priest would say, if you do that, and it was kind of a picture of them. You know, you can't be on both ways. You can't be on both mountains. You got to choose where you want to live. You got to choose what you're going to do. You got to choose that, because God was taking them into a land, and there's going to face a lot of battles. And in them battles, there was all these false gods. And we know how spiritual law works, that they was trying to entice them, to lead them astray. And that the children of Israel, just like anything else, one of the biggest mistakes, they made a few, but one of the biggest mistakes is that they wanted to be like everybody else. You know, God had called them out to be separate, to be different. But they, on the other hand, wanted to be like the people that God said to get rid of and to follow their gods. You know, and back then, due to agriculture, a lot of them prayed to gods for fertility and things like this. So they just got off track sometimes. And that brought the curse in their life. And so that's just the way life was back then and just how hard it was. Now, God, what's interesting to me, on Mount Gerizim, so there's still hope for you guys over here, or Mount Ebal. Gerizim had the blessed side. But Mount Ebal, what he did is he put an altar on that mountain. Why? Because he knew that the people were going to fail. And he put a place where they could offer blood so that they could be restored. So even though you may feel that you've failed, God always provides a way back. Amen. God will never give up. God will never give up on you. And you need to see that. You need to see that he's with us every step of the way. And God's not trying to make it hard, but God has to have a way. Now, I encourage you to do this. It's a little bit lengthy, especially Deuteronomy 28. But today or the next few days, I want you to read Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28. 27 lifts some curses. Then the start of Deuteronomy 28, the blessing side of stuff. And then it breaks into the curses. There's a lot more curses listed than there is blessings, because there's more things they had to be dealt with. But in these things, and you heard me pray earlier, God wants to make us the head and not the tail, above and not below, ahead and not behind. That's taken from Deuteronomy 28 in the blessing part, that God wants us to experience those things. He wants us to walk in the blessing of God. He wants us to have the blessed life. The curse was not meant for Christians. Now, the curse of the law, what it did, it demands perfection from imperfect people. You know, which we know, as we always went over this, it's a tutor. It was to explain things to people that you can't do it on your own. And that's why Jesus Christ came. And that's where we're going to pick this up right now. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 13, this was our launching scripture last week for this part of this messages. These two messages tie together. And this is something that we as Christians need to see. We need to get it really down in our heart what this means. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, but it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith, but on the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us," here's the key in verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Remember, last week we started off, we showed it in the scripture where if somebody hung on a tree, they became a curse, and that's what Jesus Christ did. When he went to the cross, it's kind of insinuated like a tree. Jesus Christ hung there, and he took all the curse for you and I. We deserve the curse. Now, as far as law goes, if you just break one of them, you know, you might be, you know, Miss Goody Two-Shoes. You might do everything right. Except if you lied once. Has anybody here never lied in their life? I also want to make sure there ain't no perfect people out here before I tell this. If you lied once, you broke all the law. You're guilty. Guilty. And the math, even without doing that, we were born guilty due to the sin of Adam. We inherited it. You can't help it. But Jesus Christ, what he did, he was perfect. Never broke a law. Perfection. And he went and died on that cross in our place. He paid our total price. In doing so, he broke the curse. Amen. It's broken. We don't ever have to live under a curse again. That's never even on our radar. Legally. But there is problems that you and I have. See, this is a play on words. I don't know if anybody's going to get it, but I chuckled. The law was given as a works around the sin problem while Jesus came and became the solution to our sin problem. See, the law was based on works. It's based on performance. You had to do things to get something. Jesus came and we receive it by grace. Now granted, we still go do things, but it's by a different spirit. So because of Jesus, through him, curses have lost their legal right to operate in our life. Now think about that. Whenever you think that things ain't going right and you feel like you're cursed, you have to remember the curse does not have a legal right anymore to operate in your life. Amen. Legally. That's been broken. Now, I don't know if you guys believe in legal documents or not, but they are highly enforceable. Highly enforceable. Now, the thing is, you and I have to enforce this document a little bit. So, we do that by, as we, walk in obedience to God by his grace and want to worship him and give our lives to him. You know, walking worthy was only made possible by that blood. So, as I said, legally, Christians are not under a curse because Jesus became a curse for us. Now, this is kind of why. Remember when I said in the Old Testament, curses relate to God judging sin in someone's life, okay? If they did something in the Old Testament, that curse came because God was judging that sin. It had to be judged. Sin has to be judged. In the New Testament, sin has already been judged because of what Jesus did. He took the judgment. It wouldn't be judged twice. Sin has been judged. So even though you and I make mistakes, we do, right? We sin. It still is not going to bring a curse because that sin's been judged. Now, it will open the door for the devil. That does happen, right? But God is not going to judge you if you've already been judged. If you're a Christian and you believe that Jesus Christ took your sins and paid for your guilt, that guilt has already been paid for. Can't be judged again. But the problem we have is that we still feel guilty. And we think that we have to work that out. And what happens then is that you and I make the mistake of trying to keep the spirit of the law. We put ourselves under the law, which was never made for a Christian. That was for the Jews and their covenant. Our covenant is totally different, right? Our covenant is totally different. Our covenant is based on faith and grace. And that's why you and I have to do it by faith. By faith, I believe that Jesus paid the total price for me. I am totally free now. Even though I may stumble, God is not judging me. It's not God who's judging me because I've been judged. But the fact that I opened the door for the devil to attack me, and a way to close that door is by repentance and pleading the blood of Jesus over my life. Amen. Amen? Amen? Freedom, just like that. Sins are washed away, all gone. But see, these concepts are things that we have to connect the dots in our mind. If not, we're going to continually struggle because every time we do something. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that just sounds like somebody can go off and do whatever they want to do willy-nilly and just kind of, you know, get free from it. To be honest, a real Christian wouldn't do that. If somebody's genuinely born again and converted to Christ, they are not going to desire to break Jesus' heart. Right? We do, in a sense. And when I say break Jesus' heart by disregarding him or things like that, we all fail, but I don't desire to fail. I am not looking for ways to sin. I am looking for ways to honor my God. It's all in a mindset. In my ways of going out and wanting to honor God, yes, I may say something wrong. Yes, I may do something wrong. I may have, you know, a bad attitude from time to time. These things are just part of being human. But in that humanity, that is not an excuse. It's something that I know that by God's grace, I need to overcome. I just try to keep going forward. And as long as you keep going forward, heading towards God, you're going to be fine. But what happens is that when you and I have a moment of lack of judgment and we allow the enemy to come into our life, it gets us messed up, because those two systems or standards is the curse of the law or the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so we need to pick which one, just like choices. Because if we choose to try to keep the law, that's a constant measuring stick, and we're going to find out we always fall short. We don't measure up. And we're going to end up focusing more on our failures than we are on our successes. Okay? So we need to get past that kind of thinking and revolutionize the way we look at life and just decide that I'm in the flow with God. I'm walking with God. I'm free. I'm set free. I want to worship my God. I want to glorify my God. Even though things kind of come against me, that doesn't matter, because I'm living in a real world. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction. But with that conviction, He brings grace and restoration. That's growth. That's growth. And that's what we need to do, is enter into growth, period. So the curse of the law manifests when we stop trusting, or when we start trusting our own righteousness. That's when that spirit of the law starts to attack us. And you know, an attack from the devil also manifests when we're walking in Christ's righteousness and we're making the devil nervous. You're going to get attacked, people. If you're not getting attacked, I would be more nervous. Every now and then, I'm not saying we're under attack all the time in any way, but I do know attacks do come. And all of a sudden, they'll just come at you from a bunch of different directions all at once, trying to knock you off your feet. Well, that's okay. That just knows that the devil's getting a little bit nervous, because we're living for Jesus. We're being a light unto Him and being able to walk in His ways, and that's fine. That just goes with the territory. That's part of the things we have to deal with. So it all boils down to a proper mindset. The curse, if we think of that, will bring guilt and condemnation, but the righteousness of God will bring life and peace. And so, as we looked at this, the cross of Christ satisfied every legal requirement in order to redeem that. To redeem us. We have to remember that. The cross satisfied every legal requirement. Legally, everything's done. Now, I want to look at one last scripture in closing here. It's found in Galatians 5, verse 18. This is how you and I can start to walk in a blessing environment, where we start to see things from this direction. It says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So that's the key. Don't allow yourself to be led by your own soul or your emotions or how you feel about things, but allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of Christ. See, when we're born of the Spirit, we are legally set free from the curse. And when we are led by the Spirit, we experience living set free from the curse. So it starts when you're born again, you're legally set free. And then when you're led by the Spirit, you start to experience that freedom and walk in that freedom. You start to enjoy the royalties, shall we say, of what Christ has did on the cross. So that's an important factor that we need to understand. And so by doing this, we get away from performance-based thinking and get over to grace-based thinking. See, performance does not bring grace, but grace empowers us to perform. That's a key. The Apostle Paul had this great revelation in 1 Corinthians 15. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And he talked about how that grace caused him to labor more. It's when we hook up with Jesus' yoke and we put that yoke on us and we start to work with him, but he's doing most of the pulling. You know what I mean? He's doing the work. We're just along for the ride. We get to do that. So it's the empowerment. So it's kind of semantics, but legally a Christian cannot be under a curse, but we can, by having wrong thinking and actions, we can experience curse-like symptoms. So that's why it's so important to win that battle in your mind. Do never, never, ever let yourself go back to the law where you think you have to perform because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it'll lead us back into some sort of bondage. So just like we're already saved but do not experience salvation until we repent and surrender our lives to Christ. I think I mentioned this last week. When Jesus went to the cross, he saved mankind, but not all mankind is saved. Right? People saved as they're going to get. Jesus did it, but we have to tap into it when we repent and ask him to be the Lord of our life. Just like this with breaking the law, breaking the curse of the law in our life. We start to experience when we understand that everything's done, and that's why we need to adopt Jesus as our curse breaker and our blessing maker. And when we see that, we get to walk in his freedom. We get to walk and experience the things that God had for us. The children of Israel were always looking over their shoulder. And that's no fun way to live. If you're walking in fear where you think that God's just going to keep judging you, but see, that's how they lived, because that's the law they had. That's a covenant they had. But with our covenant, we don't have to live in that kind of fear anymore, people. We start to live in that freedom that Jesus Christ gave for us. And it all comes by accepting the fact that Jesus broke the curse. And if you're experiencing curses in your life today, we want to pray for you here in a minute. Let's bow our heads, and we're going to pray.